Okay, we're back in Acts 20 again, and we're dealing with Paul, and we dealt with Paul last time about him leaving Asia to go back and get back into the Holy Land, and so it was kind of like a cloak and dagger story as to how they got Paul moved around, and they were about 10 of those guys that were mentioned there that had was helping him do these things. And I couldn't remember the depth of that understanding that I had before, like I learned now in the other times that we went over this. And I, for the life of me, I can't remember that we did it in maybe in more of a hurry than we did
that. I'm doing it now. Through Acts is never wasted.
No,
you always pick up one more thing.
It goes on and on and on, and so we made it down through the 27th verse of Acts 20. And Paul is dealing with the ones that he didn't go to Ephesus. He stopped at Miletus. But he sent some of his entourage to the back into Ephesus because Paul was, he was wanting to get to Jerusalem to finish his vow. And he wanted to be there by Pentecost. And so he wasn't going to sail in a ship that was going to stop near where he had been, because here was the guy that was making the shrines for Diana for this deal, and he didn't want to get involved in that again because he thought probably they were still looking for him. Because he had kind of snuck his way around and snuck his way out of there and left. And so he got back as far as Miletus. And so he got off there and he told his guys, said, go to the people that we were dealing with there. Go to the church or the assembly or whatever you want to call it. And says, tell them to come on over and see me, because he says, once I leave here, I'm not coming back. And so they evidently were quite a few that come over to see him. And so he got them together in Miletus. And so we'll pick it back up. But I want to go back to verse 25, at least to 25, and start there. And we'll, when we get to verse 28, then this is our study for this time. And hopefully I can get through the rest of this chapter. And some of it is pretty heavy in understanding, and some of it not so much. Because saying goodbyes to friends that you've been with for about 3 years now, give and take a few days one way or the other, there was a lot that needed to be said. But Paul wanted them all to know that he hadn't held back anything that the Lord had given him at that point where he could give it. He may have known it now. I'm not going to say he didn't know some of it. But I'm going to say that he wasn't allowed to give it if he did know it, because it wouldn't have been on God's schedule to do it. Because this is God's work, the Godhead's work, and certainly Paul was not going to try to get ahead of the Godhead in that. It's like the gal said today on TV. He said, well, I've met with the president now, but said, and we had to talk. But she said, I'm not going to stand here and give you stuff that he's going to give you later on today. You don't get ahead of the president. So this is the same way with God. You don't get ahead of God. So let me get 25, and it says, and now, it don't say but now, but it says and now, and I want you to stop for just a minute, because starting with this is something that I want you to always remember concerning Paul's writings. He goes on, and a lot of these verses of Scripture starts with and, or furthermore, or something like that, or and now. But he don't say but now, because he can't say but now, because but now would refer to something different. And he says, I have given you everything that I can. Okay. The but now that you read comes later on a lot of times when he writes back or has somebody to write back to these people that he had met along his way. And there is a but now. But and now is just a continuation. It's kind of like the Lord Jesus Christ, or the Lord Christ Jesus. See, with early on in Paul's understanding, it was always to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. Well, that would have been the Lord Jesus Christ, because they were to believe on Jesus. But when you get to the other part of it, where it says the Lord Christ Jesus, then see, it is been taken away from the kingdom hope to show that there is another way, or will be another way. And these little things we need to keep on our mind, because once you get them burned in, they're there. Okay, and now, he says, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, remember that, shall see my face no more.
Oh,
I can do the note and the notes on this, because this is what we haven't gone over recently. So here we are, verse 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and unto all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Now there's a lot here that we need to glean. And to take heed is the first thing, and the take heed there, and I'm back in my notes again here now. Take heed is the Greek prosecco, and prosecco is had or held regard as one giving knowledge as to God's word, and part of that heed there is because they had some been bewitched. Because if you go back to earlier in there, when things got pretty bad in some of Paul's situations, because these sorcerers would get the people stirred up and get them, trying to get them bewitched, or trying through the work of Satan is to get them off track. And so part of this heed there is to watch out for this bewitching that has been going on with the other people, and evidently quite a few of them in Ephesus had bewitching powers, that Satan had been dealing with them for a while. Because anywhere where you find God at work, you find the other side at work too, also generally speaking. And so this is what he's talking about. So he says, therefore, you know, and we find that this word therefore is, look at this for yourselves. And I put there in the note, got the note there, it says, see note on verse 27. And I just read it to you a while ago, but I'm going to read it again. It says, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. And so that is what he has been given to give to them. And so he is reminding them that there's people out there that are doing bewitching, and they try to fool you into the fact of going down the wrong part of where they should walk. Whenever they come to a fork in the road, they need to go in the right fork, or the right one, or the one that God has requested that they would get involved with. And so, and this is the reason it's rendered in Scripture, and where it says, unto yourselves, therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, which means to all those people that Paul had taught and preached while he was there in those years in Ephesians, and to realize that it says, talking about to all the flock there, is it says, over which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers to feed the church. So there is an admonition there that Paul is giving them, that this flock, or these people that he had went to with the Word of God, and that Word of God is over against the bewitching ones that were over on the other side, and to pay attention, because he talks about here the all the flock, and that word, the flock, is the Greek poimeno, and it means little flock. It's not like it's a great church or a great big assembly, but and over there means in or on, the which. And when he's talking about the which, and he says this is rendered in Scriptures 2,622 times, but only once, but over there, when he talks about over the flock, over the which. And I don't know why he used that word that way, but over the which was over there was only used once here out of the 2,622 times in Scripture. And it said, the which equals the Holy Ghost that hath made you overseers. And the overseers there in the Greek is episkopos. And episkopos is equal to bishops or elders. And it equals the same as far as their power goes. A bishop or an elder could either be one or the other. And I believe that's in Appendix 174. I didn't write it down, but I somehow looked at it and kept it in my mind to try to remember it, and I think I did. I'm not sure. And this is to feed. He was talking about the flock there, or the little flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. And overseers there is the word episcopos, meaning bishops or elders. And it says to feed in the Greek, that is the word shepherd. To feed the church or the assembly of the Lord or of God. And this is showing God power by his paying for mankind. And this was something that was only, he was the only one that was able to do that. And he was going to do it the one time for all. And he wouldn't have to go back over and over again to make sacrifice or make service for them in other ways and other places. But they were to feed with God's word, the church or the assembly of the Lord or of God, either way it's used, showing God's power by paying for man now, or for mankind. And so this was what the Lord God did, God's man did, which he purchased. And we're talking here about the purchase. There is gaining possession. Or it can be of an acquirement of something or other. So it says, which he purchased, and he paid for it. He gained this possession or this acquirement with his own blood. And Paul wanted to be sure that they knew that before he left there again. He was going to tell them that one more time, that all this was done and God coming back as man, for man, that he had paid for man and for his sins and took his sins, and he acquired those sins to die for the purchase price. And he done it with his own blood. Amen. And so this is what it tells you basically in the notes here in verse 28, because 28 is quite a large number of things that it tells you that he wanted them people to know. But this is not the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey might say, but it was what he could give to them at this time. So let's go to verse 29. And Paul says, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. So here's another reason why the assembly or the church was called the flock, because he like John and Peter and some of the others give you the understanding that it was like a shepherd in the field taking care of his flock. Well, Christ was taking care of mankind in the same way by giving them things that they couldn't give themselves. So, verse 29, it says, I know, because the four there, you can admit, Paul says, I know this. So he was making it more pointed here. And he said he didn't have to say, for I know this, but he says, I know this. Okay? That after my departing, and that in the Greek is aphixis. Departing is that aphixis. Shall, grievous or oppressive. In the Greek, it's the Greek word oppressive there, or grievous or oppressive are kind of like equal to each other. But in the Greek, that word there in the Greek is baris. And that means wolves. Oppressive individuals are like wolves. Because they are hunger. They're hunger for to take away what the man has. So the wolves would take away from the lambs their life. So it's actually, you know, in thought and understanding, it's actually, well, the wolves is going to take what you got. So these people that are bewitching these folks, trying to do with all this dark stuff that they've learned from the other side, is to get them away from what God condemned them by staying together as a flock. You know, the sheep can't really defend himself too much, but the shepherd can. But and so therefore the shepherd has to work, and the flock has to obey him in order for them to keep their livelihood going. And so this is another way of thinking about it, but you know, we don't have too many sheep in this part of the world. And so therefore, back then, I think that was a pretty good way of making a determination as to what needed to happen for things to work out the way they should. So the wolves enter in among you unto you, not sparing the flock. And then we go down to verse 30. And it says, also. And I guess that can take the place of and. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. So he said, maybe not all the bad ones on the other side. Maybe some of you will be duped into teaching something different from what I taught. Also, of your own selves shall or will arise. And arise there in the Greek is esteeming, speaking, lelio, perverse things. And we can go back to Acts 13, verses 8 through 10, and see why Paul uses the word these perverse things. We might ought to just do it for a minute. Only two or three verses. So let's go back to Acts 13. And I'll have to look it up too, because I didn't mark it down with a marker. But I did put it in my notes. Acts 13. And okay. Yeah, here we go. Acts 13. I got to back up one page in my old Bible is kind of ragged on the edges, and I have a little time of getting them from one page to the other. Yeah, Acts 13, 8 through 10. Verse 8 is on page 1609 if you have a companion Bible. And it says this. There was a sorcerer there, and it said Elymas was the sorcerer's name, or so is this name by interpretation, withstood them, Paul and Barnabas now, and they called him Barnabas and Saul at this point, withstood them, seeing to turn away the deity. And the deity was one that was, I guess, dealing with the synagogue at that place there. Yeah. And Elymas the sorcerer, for his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn him or turn away the deity from the faith. And Saul, who is also called Paul, and we've been over this before, but we'll go over it again. Paul was the name, was the name given by his mother and his grandmother. Or was that Timothy? But Paul's Christian name, or Saul's Christian name, was Paul, but his daddy gave him his Greek name of Saul. So Saul is Saul of Tarsus, but he's still Paul because that was his family. That was his Christian name or his family name. So that was legal. That was something that was done by those that were named different names. And Saul, who is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on Elymas, and said, O full of all subtlety and mischief, thou child of the devil, thy enemy of all righteousness, will thou not cease to prevent, pervert the right way of the Lord? So you see, this went on and on and on. They was ones that seemingly come out of the woodwork to take on Paul and take on his teaching. That is how important it was to God, and it seemed to be to Satan, if he wanted to take the place of Christ, then it would be very important to him also. So, I did want to pass that out. The perverse things, the things that were against what Paul was teaching and preaching. Okay, to draw or to pull by words. It wasn't to pull by force. But Elymas was trying to do it by words, to pull them away from allowing this man that wanted to know the Word of God. That's how important it was. By words, away disciples from them, or to join them into their train. And I didn't know the word even train existed at that time. But these notes were put in here probably in the 1700s, And so they were probably trains in there at that time. So you see, sometimes it would be by the people that was doing these notes in the companion side that you learned something that you wouldn't have thought about at that point. And that word in the Greek is opiso, O-P-O-S-O, O-P-I-S-O, opiso. Their train would have been the people that followed them against the group that was following Paul and Barnabas at that time, or Saul and Barnabas. Now we can call him Paul because we went back and found where he straightened that out. Okay. Verse 31 then goes on to say, let me get back to it. Therefore, watch. And I thought, oh, wait a minute now. If somebody added the word train there, and we kind of associate the word therefore with stop, look, and listen. Is that something unusual? Could have been. In the notes that were being put in here by others in the English later on, maybe in the 1700s or 1800s, okay, or even later than that, by those in England. Therefore, watch, stop, look, and listen, and remember that by the, and this is what Paul says, by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Now, Paul didn't have a 3-day week or a 4-day week or a 5-day week or even a 6-day week. His work went on day and night, day after day after day. This is how Paul dealt with his own business, dealt probably with his own tent making, and probably even further than that whenever the Lord gave him his walking papers. So he did it that way, and it was expected of him. Verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance. Oh, it seems like every once in a while one of these little words come in there that begins to give you another piece of the puzzle.
Among our, Tammy and I talked today, an inheritance, the dispersing of an inheritance is up to the one that's leaving the inheritance,
yeah,
not to the ones who want to jump in and claim it.
Okay, this is what Paul's doing here. He's leaving these people, and he's not coming back. This is like they're standing, in a sense, it's just like they're standing at the graveside, and Paul's down in the pit ready to be covered up.
Mm-hmm. For all intents and purposes, that's what it means.
If they're not going to see his face anymore, then it's the same as the death, basically, in a situation that most anybody could remember, you know, would understand.
Thank God they at least heard from him again.
Huh?
Thank God they at least heard from him again with the book of Ephesians.
Yeah, that's the reason I said Paul Harvey a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, and now, brother, or and now. I think brethren had been added according to the ones doing the notes. He says, I commend you, and in commend there in the Greek is paratissimai. I commend you to God, paratissimai, to God, and to the word, logos, of his grace. And I put my own notes in that, where grace is, because I see it, basically, is unmerited favor. It is something that God could give you that you couldn't get in any other way. It's his grace, which is able to build you up. Okay? Which is able to build you up. And there's another Greek word there in the Greek. And that word is epoakademio. Epoakademio. And it says it's only used by another besides Paul, and that it was in Jude. That word was the Greek word used by Jude. And it's five times by Paul, so it was used six times in Scripture by Paul and Jude. Jude one time, Paul five times. Okay. And to give you an inheritance. And the word inheritance in the Greek is kleronomia, among all them which are sanctified. So that would be to be set apart. To be sanctified, to be set apart. And then verse 33 says, and Paul gets down to the eyes now, and he says, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. And he's talking to him face to face with tears. I have coveted or desired no man's silver or gold or apparel. And that there's a word for that that means all that someone else has. And in the Greek is hamatissō. The word expresses more, and states more lines than the common word, which is in the Greek, is hemataion. So, Paul uses a word that was more expressive. He wanted them to know that he didn't ask them for anything that they had. That he worked and strived and used his hands to do it. And I believe that tells us in the next verse of that. Verse 34 said, yea, ye yourself know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. So Paul made sure that, you know, he wanted to leave with them a lot more than he would have ever taken from them. And that's certainly true in the sense of God's grace. Okay. You yourselves know the word gnosko. Now these hands have ministered in the Greek. Is is the word hyperileo, to my necessities, needs, and to them that were with me. Verse 35 says this, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how I said, or how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And he says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring or toiling, that you ought to support, and the word you ought to support there is a Greek word, it's antilam anomeo, may I, the weak, the sick is what the weak equals, and in the Greek, that word is asta, any you. And it is breathing problems, meaning that basically this is where we get our word asthmatic or asthma from. Okay. Because if you can't breathe, there's not much you can do. You're weak to that point. Okay. And it says, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus. When he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And you got two or three more verses here. Verse 36 says this, and when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and he prayed with them all. He kneeled down. Just like in Acts 8, Stephen kneeled down also. No, it's in Acts 7, verse 60. Just before he died and prayed. And that, again, that prayed is prosekumai. With them all. Paul's departure was like unto his death before them. I put that in there. That's my notes. Because that, looking at it and going back and looking at these things, it was just like they were standing there and he was in the pit ready to be covered up. Okay, verse 37. And they all, after he kneeled down and prayed with them all, just like Stephen did when he was dying, when they had stoned him to death, or was stoning him to death. And it says, and they all wept sore and fell upon Paul's neck and kissed him.
Love goodbye.
Yeah. And they gathered around and were weeping for him. And I imagine they'd done the same thing when they had stoned him at Derby. And they gathered around him and was praying and probably crying about it. He got up, went back the next morning, went back through town, showing them they didn't do a very good job. And they wept sore and fell on Paul's neck. This was how they showed their love. Hugging him. And kissing him. And kissing him was in in the Greek is kataphileo. And 38 says this, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see him no more. And they accompanied him into the ship. Sorrowing most of all. 4 equals upon, or the word epi. The words he spake that they should or were about to see or behold his face no more. They knew what that meant. And they accompanied him. And that's accompanied there as pro tempo unto the ship. And this was, I'm sure, a soul-searching occasion. One that they would never forget. One that they would always remember. But he told them everything at that point that he had to tell them. And I want to go back for just a minute to Ephesians. If I can find it. Oh, I'm going the wrong way. That's how long it's been since I've been in Ephesians. I still got to go a little further. Galatians, I'm getting close. Ephesians 1, for just a minute. I want to do the Paul Harvey thing for a second. Paul, Ephesians 1:1, page 1760, if you got a companion Bible. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God and the saints which are at Ephesians, Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, and having predestinated us unto the adoption. This is something that they didn't or hadn't heard. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. He could not tell them people that. He had to write that and give them at least part of the rest of the story.
Amen.
At that point. So, if he knew a little of it, it wasn't important in that day. But this day, when he writes back to them, and he's giving them the rest of the story, that's when it's important, because he said in Acts 28, therefore we'll go to the Gentiles and they'll hear it. So now, it is not the kingdom of God, it is the family of God, of which the kingdom is part. And so now Paul knows much more than he knew 10 years before when he was there with them and was fixing to leave them like he was going back to the grave. And so that's pretty much the beginning of the rest of the story, if they chose to believe it. That's where we are today. We haven't gone that far down the road. We have a hope now that we can believe in and believe on and realize and understand that it's as true as any other part of God's Word that's in those pages.
But
to be accepted, you must believe.
Yep. Instead of being just for us, now that word is to us.
Yeah, we're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. That God, all the promises that God ever gave, he didn't lie about any of them. They were all true.
Amen.
And so, this is what I'll leave you with. This is what we have. And we'll start on another chapter, but a good place to stop here. It's profitable.
Yeah, Jimmy would be happy, Miss Janet, we stopped in Ephesians.
Yeah.